Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word.
Hey listeners, Nicole Olstead here with Sharon Gamble on the Sweet Selah Moments podcast. We are so pleased you found us. Sharon and I pray that these episodes encourage you to learn alongside us how to be still and get to know the God who loves you. In this season, we are studying the stories of Jesus and his encounters with women. Today, in episode 164, Living Water, Essential for Life, we are talking about the women at the well. Sharon, tell us a little bit about her and where in the Bible we find her encounter with Jesus.
This is a fascinating story because it's 42 verses long, for starters. Some of the stories we get like glimmers, two verses. This lady has more dialogue, too. You hear more of a woman's voice here than almost anywhere else.
Oh,
she talks and talks and talks.
Yeah.
And Jesus answers and answers and answers. And this whole dialogue is written out for our edification. I just think it is so cool. So we're going to read a longer passage than normal, and I just want people to hang with us for it. So, Nicole, you're going to be the Samaritan woman.
All right.
I know.
This will be fun.
Yes. So every time she speaks or it's about her, you'll do the speaking, and I'll read the rest of it. But I think it'll help people realize just how often she speaks, and we hear it. So it's an awesome story.
I'm excited because usually we always want more, and we have a lot of detail in this one.
Exactly.
So it'll be good.
I always still want more, but there's more here than... So, okay, I'm going to start in John 4, verse 1. We're going to read 42 verses, but with lots of Samaritan womanness coming into it. So here we go. All right. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John, although Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus,
"You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?"
Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water."
"But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?"
Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life."
"Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water."
"Go and get your husband," Jesus told her.
"I don't have a husband," the woman replied.
Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. For you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth."
"Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped?"
Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth."
The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us.
Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then, his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or, why are you talking to her?
The woman left her jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?
So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. Mm.
Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, and not because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world.
Wow. Isn't this the coolest?
It is.
Oh my goodness, to hear that much of it. Jesus wanted it all recorded, obviously.
Yeah.
Or the Bible wouldn't have done it. And John, the disciple, must have asked questions because he wasn't there for that dialogue, right? So he must have at some point talked to the woman and said, what did he say to you? You know?
So what were you guys talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, well, we always like to look at the woman's story first, and then we'll look at Jesus' part of this. So what do you learn about this really incredible woman at the well who doesn't get named?
She doesn't, no. Well, I know that the time of day that Jesus found her, she was in isolation because typically going to the well was a community event and they would all go together before the sun was too hot because it's hot there.
Yeah.
And so she was going at noonday where Jesus was there. And so I think she was going by herself because she was an outcast or not accepted because of her sinful lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a bit in isolation, you know? But I think this is so fascinating that he took the time to speak to her as a Samaritan and to reveal to her that he was the Messiah.
Yeah.
And I think this is the first time in scripture that he says that clearly, I am the Messiah.
Yes.
So he didn't say that very often to many people.
No.
But he clearly said it to her. And you think she's kind of the, in that culture and in that time, the least of the least. She's a Samaritan woman who is a sinner. Like she was the bottom of the barrel for who he would say that to,
yes.
You know, not the high up top spiritual leaders or Jewish leaders, even his disciples. He didn't ever sit and kind of work it through. He really wanted them to catch it and see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like those who have ears to hear, like let them hear, like watch and see.
Mm-hmm. And yet with her, he's just like, and it's me.
It's me. Yeah, so that kind of blew me away that he, and then for him to stay in the village for 2 days at this place where the Jews are like, why are you talking to this Samaritan woman? And then he stays for 2 days. So her story is really interesting.
It is. And let's see, what are some of the things that I thought? She isn't shy. I noticed that about her.
Mm.
You know, a lot of, and probably if you've had five husbands and you're living with a sixth, you're kind of over shyness.
Right.
Right?
You're not afraid
so
to
I
stop.
Picture her kind of a rough around the edges, blunt kind of person. She almost had to be because that's a defensive response to being liked.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, kind of, what is that to you?
Because everyone's going to be looking at her and making comments and whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So she has to give it back and just kind of push them, you know? So I see in her almost a refreshing bluntness.
Mm.
She's not just, oh, here's some water, sir. I can't believe you spoke to me. She's like, what are you doing speaking to me?
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't feel like that was typical of a woman speaking to a man. She had actually more freedom because she'd kind of gotten over being respectable.
She had nothing to lose at that point, right? She didn't have a reputation to uphold. It was already ruined. So
right.
She's
already
just like,
ruined.
Oh, who's this guy?
Whatever. Yep. So I thought that was really fascinating. Mm. I also noticed that she has a way of avoiding conversations she doesn't want because Jesus is like, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five. And the one you're living with is not currently your husband. And she's like, wow. Mm. So now can we talk about where people should worship theologically?
Right. Let's just jump over that whole thing you just mentioned. I don't want to go there.
That cracked me up. It really did. Oh. It was like, okay, so you really don't want to talk about this.
Yeah.
So let's challenge this rabbi person with something else. But she also was interested in worship.
Yeah.
And you wonder, Nicole, obviously living with the man that she's not married to is sin. Mm. What happened with those marriages, though? Mm. Were they her fault?
Yeah.
Were they not her fault? What led her to this point?
Yeah.
Because she seems to be interested in worship.
Mm-hmm.
She seems to be interested in being given living water. I mean, mm-hmm. she was super interested in that. And she actually believed him. I mean, he's saying, if I give you living water, you'll never be thirsty again. And she's like, can I have it?
Right.
Not like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking? Well, she mentioned at one point, I think she knew about the Messiah coming because she knew. She's like, well, when Christ comes, he's going to explain everything to us. So she was aware of that and must have had some measure of faith.
She must have.
To receive him as Messiah so readily. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? What's a Messiah? So
So she has some kind of background in following God.
Yeah.
And then she's so excited that she leaves her water jar, which water is super important in a dry climate.
Yeah.
You know, and then goes and tell the village. And this ostracized woman, because I agree with you, I think she was probably ostracized, is so excited and so blown away by the fact that a total stranger informed her of all her marriages.
Right.
And her current living situation without not knowing a thing about her, that she tells everybody and they actually follow her.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to be a little charismatic too.
Right. And bold to go back to the people that had shaped, not be like, well, they don't need to hear. At least I got the living water and I'm good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The fact that she went back and kind of got everyone excited about it is really neat.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think sometimes the more desperate we are for help, the more willing we are to hear it, you know? And she heard what people that were pretty self-satisfied wouldn't hear.
Right.
You know? So it's just a beautiful story.
It is really beautiful.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, okay, so now, what do we learn about Jesus? I'll tell you my stuff, and then you can tell me your stuff. Number one, I was fascinated that he's humble. He needed a drink, and he asked.
Mm.
He was thirsty. He had nothing to draw water with.
Yeah.
And he didn't, you know, snap his fingers and miracle the water.
I know. Isn't that funny?
Which he could have.
That he let himself be weak and humble so many times when he didn't need to.
Right, right.
He was by himself and he probably could have just made a little cup and no one would have noticed.
Exactly. He could have done anything.
He could have.
He could have said, Lord, make me not thirsty.
Right.
But instead he said, could I have a drink? So I noticed his humbleness.
Mm-hmm.
I also noticed that he does not waste time on idle chatter.
Mm.
You know, he asks for the water, and then he's like, and if you knew who you were talking to, he's right into it.
Yeah.
He does not waste time. And I thought, Lord, do I meander too much with people before getting to talking about what is going to save their lives, eternal life?
Right, right.
Sometimes I'm so timid that I just want to, I know you have to establish a relationship to some degree, but the fact that he cut to the chase, he's like, I see you. You need me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not going to waste time chatting about, you
the
know,
weather.
Men and women at the well and why men don't talk to women.
Yeah.
You need living water. I can give it.
Wow.
So he's super cutting to the chase, which I think is really cool. And I also think that it's cool that he shared what he could do for her before he kind of uncovered her past.
Yeah.
First, he tells her what's most important, which is not her past.
Mm-hmm.
It's her future, which with him is going to be beautiful.
I didn't think of that. That's so beautiful. He was gentle with her. He didn't just...
Yeah. Yeah. He could have said bluntly, all right, we need to talk. You're living with a man.
Right. And she would have been instantly defensive, probably, and very like, I'm done.
Instead, it's like, I can give you more than you just gave me.
Mm.
You gave me water. I'll be thirsty again.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you something that will make you never thirst again. So, so cool. I also liked that he didn't lecture her mm-hmm. about her see me past. He just stated it.
Yeah.
You know, people know.
Yeah.
I always know. I don't need people to rub my face in sin. I know what I've done. And Satan loves to accuse.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're unaware.
I mean, this was affecting her whole life.
Right.
She was, by herself. Like, this woman was not unaware of her sin.
No, she did not need a lecture.
No.
But she did need to know that he knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's so good.
Mm.
And then, of course, the plainest day, I am the Messiah.
Yeah.
Right out honoring her, just like the women at the tomb are the ones that see the risen Lord, you know, and get to tell the news first that the Lord is risen. This woman gets told Messiah. It's like Jesus goes out of his way to say, women.
Right.
I'm choosing you.
To do that, to hear this
Isn't
news.
Isn't that so nice as a woman to know this?
Makes us feel very seen and not unimportant that he loves us, that he would go out of the way to share that.
Yeah,
that's
so
beautiful.
Yeah. So how about you? What did you learn about Jesus? I may have said too much.
No,
I don't know.
I know. Same thing. His kindness and his compassion just blew me away because he walked up to her. He didn't walk up and immediately condemn her.
Mm-hmm.
He asked
mm-hmm.
good questions. Mm-hmm. Jesus asked the best questions,
doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Some that you can't kind of squirmy, but like, oh, where's your husband? He asked really good questions. And then he offered her repentance and a way out right away.
He
before.
Did.
And then hope, because maybe she'd lost hope because we don't know her full story. We do want more. See, we always want more. But like you said, what led her to that point where she was at?
Right.
There's always a story.
There is.
We don't usually just sin for fun. Sometimes we do. But to live in something, usually it feels like there's no other options. There's no hope sometimes. You just kind of give up.
Exactly.
So he knew her heart and he knew what was going on in her life. He knew her story and he was so gentle with her. And I love that he gave her a message to tell so she could, that would kind of reintroduce her to her culture, to her village. She could run back with this new story of like, there's living water. This man knew my whole past. Like, what a beautiful way to help her integrate back into society.
I didn't even think of that.
Like, heal that broken relationships with everybody.
Yeah.
Like, he gave her this huge message. I'm the Messiah. And she got to go tell that to everyone who's been giving her side eyes for whoever knows how long.
Yeah. She became important.
She did. She did. And I think that's really neat that he can turn our messes into these redemptive stories. And that she got to carry that important message that, the Messiah is by the well.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys know that?
Yeah. The actual Messiah.
The actual Messiah is by the well. And he told me about my life and he gave me living water. So I just thought that was so sweet of him too. His gentleness and his kindness.
Yeah.
Because she was sinning. She was living in sin.
Right.
And we can't dismiss that because sin grieves God because he can't be close to sin. And he wants to be close to us.
Yeah.
So it's never like God is angry with us for doing something wrong. He just wants to get us. Like, it's never that. It grieves him because sin is so evil.
And it
he doesn't
hurts
want it
us.
Near us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It destroys our lives. I mean, this woman was not living a beautiful life alone at the well in the heat of the day, miserable. Like, I would be dead if I had to go to the well in the middle of the day.
Oh, yeah. I'm not snow
good
person.
Good in heat. No.
Yeah. I know that's unpopular, but I love snow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But no, I just think that's so neat. Just how he works in each of our situations and finds us. But he found her.
He did.
And he kept
I wonder if
her.
She was the one that told John the story. I wonder if she was active in the early church in Acts.
I know.
She could have been. Because somebody had to tell it.
Right.
And it might have been her. She might have said, and then he said, and then I said, back and forth.
Right, because they weren't, I don't think the disciples were walking around recording things as they went.
No, and
they didn't sound like they were.
And they weren't there.
They didn't, didn't understand all these things. Like, you just had an interaction, let me write it down. Like, it doesn't say that.
Yeah,
so they would have had to gather people back.
But she would have remembered.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's funny how you can forget what you had for breakfast yesterday, but ask about a traumatic event from 10 years ago, and it's imprinted.
Yeah.
In your brain.
Yep.
The important things are. Yeah.
They are for sure. So that's so neat.
Yeah. So cool. All right. Well, let's talk some about our own stories because we always do that. And this living water one for me resonates like you would not believe, except you would, Nicole, because
you sip my water.
You know that I have Meniere's disease. And Meniere's disease gives me not just dizziness, like spinning, but also vertigo and the sense that I'm on 30-foot waves in a boat in a storm with wind blowing. I can't find a focal point. I fall over if I don't, you know, grab something and try to steady myself. But it takes a while to get over it. And then I'm very weak. Sometimes it's a day and two in bed, depending on the severity of the attack. And I've had it for years, over 20 years now. So me and he, many years, you know, kind of know each other
now. Become buddies of sorts.
Yeah, we become buddies of sorts. But I know for me what my triggers are. And salt retains water, and water will build up in my ears. And that is what creates the seizures in my ears that make me unable to stand straight. So I need to keep fully hydrated all the time. Hence, I need water. Now, we all need water, and most people live in a semi-dehydrated state all the time.
Is that wild?
Our bodies are screaming for water. So many things can be fixed with water. It is a little bit embarrassing.
It is.
Yes.
It's truly embarrassing. If you read the list of symptoms of dehydration, like, are you serious? Like, I've been feeling like death. Drink water, and you'll feel better. Like, it's too simple. We want it to be complicated. Just water.
Exactly. It happened to Mary in high school. She was on the volleyball team.
Yeah.
And she sipped water all day, but she didn't drink it. She was getting horrible headaches. They put her on strong medication, and she hated it. And I came up with the novel idea that maybe she should try drinking water.
Right.
Like, really measuring it and drinking it. Do you know her headaches were gone within 4 days?
Oh, my goodness.
And it was just drinking water. So how interesting that Jesus compares himself to something that essential, right?
Yeah.
And that's why this conference that is coming up September 26th is so exciting to me, because the title is Living Water Conference, and the whole point of it is to kind of dissect all the verses of water in the Bible, all the necessity for water, and how do we keep hydrated spiritually, right?
Yeah.
Because you sure don't, on a Sunday morning from 10 to 11, drink water and then don't do anything for a week.
Right.
You would be actually dead.
Right.
I think 3 or 4 days, that's it, without water. You drink water every day, or you get liquid into you every day.
Correct.
You have to.
Right.
Well, Jesus is that essential. And drinking him in and actively wanting to be with him is what hydrates us. I cannot be nice without him. I have a hard time being nice anyways a lot of times, because I'm selfish by nature.
Yes, we all are.
I want
sure.
the bigger piece of cake.
Right.
I want to go to bed when I want to go to bed, not when Ray wants to go to bed.
Right.
You know, all the things.
Yeah.
All the things. But when I'm hydrated and the Holy Spirit is alive, he's always in me, but I'm listening to him.
Yes.
Which is sort of my drinking, is listening to him.
Yeah.
Things go so much better. So anyways, we are inviting everybody to come to this Living Water Conference from all over the country, which makes me so excited. One of the things that people were not happy with our retreat was how long a drive it was from Logan Airport up to the lake in Winnipesaukee.
Yeah.
So we are having it in South Portland, Maine. We have hotels that are taking $100 off their foliage prices.
That's amazing.
For our people.
Yeah.
So you can get a room block. You can fly right into the Jetport, which is an international Portland, Maine jetport. And within 5 minutes, you're at the hotels, and within walking distance with one of the hotels anyways, and almost walking distance with all of them, to we're having the event.
Center.
So super excited.
Yeah.
Super excited about the whole thing. And we're even making accommodations for people that can't hear. We're going to have sign language.
Yes.
We're making accommodations for women that are in wheelchairs. This facility is fantastic.
It's beautiful.
We're working with Johnny and Friends and all kinds of things. I want everybody to come.
Yeah.
Because we all need water.
We do.
And I should be quiet. It's your turn. What's your story?
I don't know if I can follow that one. Oh, I was just thinking about the woman and how Jesus comes to us. I just put something about, like, during our hard times when we can't or won't go to him sometimes. Sometimes we get kind of caught up in a shame cycle, or we think, oh, I'm not good enough. And he still finds us. He finds us. He does. And he always offers us a way out of our sin. We can always go to him for forgiveness anytime. So yes. There's been so many times in my life, countless times, where the distance from him has been self-inflicted due to my sin and not confessing it to him, mm-hmm. or because of grief or trauma. And you lay there in bed going, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't even have the energy to pray well or to read my Bible. And the way that he finds us is so beautiful, whether it's scripture that I've memorized or a song that I hear or someone sending me a message or even praying for me. You know, sometimes when you can't even pray for yourself, having friends that come and love on you, it's such a beautiful thing. And you don't even have to look for it or ask for it. It just kind of happens.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice it in the time, but then looking back, I'm like, oh my word, so many little things happened during those hard times that kept me from drowning. Mm-hmm. And it was just these little nudges from God, like, I see you, I'm still here. Mm-hmm. I know this hurts. You're gonna make it through. It feels like forever. But it just, I'm so blown away by how personal and caring our God is.
Oh my goodness. I love that phrase. He comes and finds us. Mm. Oh man. Well, let's pray. So that good. Is beautiful. Oh, Heavenly Father, you did. You, as Jesus, went and found that Samaritan woman that we're so impressed with today. Thank you that you find us. Thank you that you don't find us when we're necessarily doing everything perfectly right. She certainly wasn't. But you want us near you. We're so grateful, Lord. Thank you, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope today's episode was a blessing to you. We would love the opportunity to meet some of our listeners in person. Registration is now open for our Living Waters Conference. Come join us in Portland, Maine on September 26th for a day of encouragement and seeking God. Our own Sharon Gamble will be our main speaker, along with several workshops and times of worship. Go to sweetstela.org for more information and to sign up. Just look for the Living Waters button and click on that. Until next time, don't forget to take time to just stop, Selah, and be with Jesus.